Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Mike Gregg and Emilio Danello, who should be joining us shortly. In this special episode, we'll be following up from our last episode when we discussed the open managerial position with the club. Well, that show was over a week ago, and Fulham have made it known that they're now looking for a head coach, but that position has still not been filled. We will be discussing that situation and much more. But before we get started, I have to welcome one of my co-hosts who's on the line with me. Mike, how you doing?
Hi, Russ. Yeah, really good. Looking forward to doing the show. A bit of deja vu from last week. Nothing's changed, but yeah, plenty of people to talk about and in the situation that we are.
Absolutely. Mike, just off the cuff, did you think by now that we would actually have a head coach?
This time last week, yes, I did think we would have someone in place by today.
So did I. That's why I'm a little surprised, but we could talk about it because, again, I want the club to get it right. For me, it's most important that they find the right man. If it takes a little bit longer, I can deal with it, but they better get this right, Mike.
I mean, that's the key thing. If it is taking this long, and we can talk about possible reasons why, then the fans are not going to let them have any sort of room to fudge it. It needs to be a proper appointment and the right one as well.
Okay, I completely agree with you. All right, while we wait for Emilio, I'm actually going to read something to you, a very interesting take on the kit situation. I know we've talked about it already, but I do like Tim's take on this. I'm just going to read and get your thoughts on it. One last look at kit, and again, this is from Tim Gellis, one of our co-hosts. He wrote this today on Craven Cottage News Run. Again, it's a quick read, so I'm just going to read it out and get your thoughts on it, Mike. It's entitled, Why Kit Had to Go. This is, again, from Tim Gellis. What to say about Kit Simons that hasn't already been said? We got our immediate bump when he replaced McGath, but have essentially plateaued for the past calendar year. Our offense is on fire, something to behold when fully functioning. The 1-2 passing fluidity, which saw a reprieve from the nebulous McGath and static Yoel era. And it worked. Currently, we lead the league in goals scored and shooting percentage. Our PTO is second to Burrow. Yet, this type of offense would be Kit's undoing, as the defense would be exposed whenever our midfielders move upfield. It was also due for a major regression. Those numbers weren't going to keep up with a defense this bad. Speaking of, stating our defense is bad now is akin to saying iTunes sucks. It's been so bad for so long, we've sort of just accepted it. Ted Knutson, creator of StatsBomb.com and now analytics honcho at Brentford, came up with a theory that relegation candidates often average 16 shots against per game. Additionally, although this is presumably for the EPL and things in the championship are slightly different, but it still will apply that metric full, and we're averaging about 14 shots against per game this season. Last season was over 15. Additionally, Fulham's danger zone against percentage, this being shots that are essentially point blank, this season is 42%. Last season, when I calculated in early April, it was at 41.9%. Despite all the changes in personnel, there hasn't been much systemic improvement with our defense. So Kit had to go. It's a shame, as he seemed like a generally nice person, and one thing becomes evident when looking at the numbers. If we wanted to remain in mid-level championship club, Kit would have been a fine manager. But we don't want to be mid-level championship side, let alone remain in it. We want to be in the Premier League. Again, that's a take from Tim Gellis, who's a co-host here on Cottage Talk. Mike, Emilio's on the line with us. I'm going to bring him on in a second, but I want to get your take on Tim's article.
Yeah, I found it a really interesting read. And as you know, I enjoy the stats as well. I would agree. iTunes does suck, and I don't use it myself. But he's right. You know, the stats historically. I look at league tables and things like that. And you know, to get promoted, you need 15 clean sheets or more a year, and we're nowhere near that. And shots on target, and where the shots are being taken from as well. He's quite right. It's all in that middle of the 18-yard box. So, yeah, we as we were saying earlier in earlier shows, Russ, you know, we'll win a couple, lose a couple, go forward, go backwards, and just bob along in the middle. And that's exactly what we were doing. So, yes, if the plan is still promotion and the club have made it clear that is the aim, then, yes, he had to go because there was no improvement in the core area where we had our problems.
Absolutely. You know, again, I find it fascinating. Again, very quick article, but something that I think that you should read, and I put this on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. Again, a great take from Tim Gellis. I know we're looking back at Kit, but, again, we're trying to figure out what went wrong. And I think Kit really got the defense wrong, and I think, you know, to be honest with you, Tim really nailed it because we're scoring all these goals, but the defense wasn't getting any better. All right, we have Emilio on the line. Emilio, how you doing, my friend?
Good evening, Russ. Hi there, Mike. How are you? How are you both?
Hi, Emilio. Yeah, I'm good. Yep, good to hear you.
Yeah, it's good to be on the show. It's, you know, just before we talk about football and get into the realms of Fulham Football Club, and let's just spare a thought for you know, the families and friends of the victims from the Paris terror attacks. It's just another
reminder.
We've all got to be extremely vigilant, extremely brave in life. And, you know, sometimes when you see those events taking place, you know, sometimes putting football on the back foot isn't necessarily a bad thing. So, yeah, I just want to express my thoughts and condolences to everyone concerned. I'm sure Fulham Football Club, our Fulham family here on College Talk, want to express the same thoughts. So, yes, I just wanted to get that in there. I think it's while England are playing France tonight, and there was a minute's silence before the game, it just reminds us that we're all together trying to fight this terrorism.
Emilio, I'm glad that you mentioned that. Again, my thoughts and prayers are with the people of Paris and France. I've tweeted that out a bunch of times, and I'm thinking about them and thinking about everyone, and we are all in this together. And very, very good point for you to mention that, so we could talk about that, because we are a family, and we have to band together during this really difficult time. And, again, my thoughts are with everyone in France, honestly. All right, Emilio, Mike and I just started talking about the situation. You know, again, a week ago when we had this show, did you think at this point we would have a manager, but now we know it as a head coach? Did you think a week ago we would be here at this point not having a head coach?
I'm actually not overly surprised, I'll be honest with you. I think last week there's all these, you know, Lyle was on the show last week, you know, suggesting it was three key targets. Things have moved on since then. We'll talk about that in a moment. One manager's gone. Another one doesn't seem to be in any gossip columns. And the third one still lingering in there in the background. But to be honest, we look about the decision around Kit. That wasn't an overnight decision either. A lot of thought, a lot of effort. Maybe it was over-engineered the way Kit was appointed and trying to get, you know, several consultants trying to come and make the right decision for Fulham Football Club. And I see the same thing happening again here. This is a crucial decision. You can't keep screwing up and making wrong decisions, excuse my French. And as a result, I'm not overly surprised that we haven't come up with somebody. The candidates who have been targeted as the favourites for the job, they've been out there for months. And we talked about that last week, and they've still not been appointed. So that's given me some courage that maybe they're looking elsewhere rather than going for a Mr. Pearson, who I'd be extremely livid if we appoint, but we could talk about that in a moment. But no, I'm not surprised. And I think they want to make the right decision. And they're playing a cagey game. They're playing a cagey game. You know, the ones that they're not interested in, they're just letting them go like Lambert. But what's a rush, is my opinion. I think we're in a stable position in the division. You've got a caretaker manager who I think is more than capable just to keep the players together, you know, get some organisation back into the defence, allow us to play with a bit more, you know, end-to-end flowing football. I think it's not the end of the world that we haven't got no point. We've got Alan Kovacic is more than capable to look after the club short-term. So I'd rather we wait and get the right man rather than just appoint someone for the sake of ticking a box and maybe regret it 6-12 months down the line. So I'm taking courage that they haven't made that decision yet, because it means they're thinking long and hard and trying to find the right man. And if they wanted the obvious candidates who've been out there for months, surely they would have got them by now.
Listen, I completely agree with you on that. It's funny because I was thinking about that right after you messaged me. You know, I'm thinking about Pearson, and Pearson's been out there for a long time. Why has he not been appointed yet? You know, again, that to me tells me, again, I could be completely wrong. They could still appoint him, but it tells me that they're thinking hard about this decision. They are taking their time, and they're going to make sure they get this one right. I'm not saying that he won't be the man, but I have a feeling that leaving all their options open, they're going to explore all different avenues and make sure they've made the right decision here, Emilio. And while you were coming on, I actually read an article to everyone that Tim Gallis, one of our co-hosts, wrote today on Craven Cottage News Round. And again, it really is about why Kit had to go. I don't know if you caught the end of that, but it really had to do with the defensive numbers. And if we had kept Kit, we probably would have been mid-table. But if the desire is to go back to the Premier League, they needed to make the move, and they probably needed to make it now. Emilio, do you agree with that article?
Yeah, absolutely. I got the tail end of the what you were reading out to Mike, and I think we all concur here that maybe it took a month too late. Maybe we should have made a decision when there was the last international break in October. But we gave him a chance. We got that result against Reading. That probably kept him in the job for a little while longer. And what this has proven to me now, although we all believe that Kit was the right decision for him to go, maybe they weren't necessarily deep diving and trying to look in the background for somebody suitable to replace him, because if they'd done that or planned to do that, then maybe they would have lined up someone a lot quicker. Maybe we would have appointed a manager by now. So, whichever way you look at it, I actually thought the club were doing something in the background, trying to line up the right person, tap up a few people, do the things that you normally do when you try to headhunt a new manager or a new recruit. But, maybe they hadn't been doing that. Maybe they did trust in Kit. Maybe they did give him the time that maybe he merited, and unfortunately just fell short. And I wish him all the best, but it was the right time to move on. At the end of the day, he didn't deal with that defence. We've still got the worst defence in the division. We've had a horror defence for the last three or four seasons. That needs to be sorted. And, Kit had a year to do it, had a transfer window in the summer to sort it. And unfortunately, we've got better players, but still conceding.
Same issue, and that was the point that Tim was making. Again, for all the players that were brought in to shore up that back four, we still have the same leaky defense. So something had to change, and they needed to make the move. They made the move, and hopefully they will get I keep wanting to say manager, guys, a head coach that can take care of that defense but also let us play the way we want to play and score the goals that we've been scoring. It's finding that balance, and they need to find the right man that can do that. All right, guys, let's now go into a little news and speculation. Michael, I'll start with you again. I've seen this story yesterday, and then, of course, with the follow-up story today in Sky Sports. So, again, this is coming from Sky Sports and The Sun. They're both reporting this, that the shortlist for the new head coach for Fulham are Nigel Pearson, Reading manager Steve Clark, and Exeter manager Paul Tisdale. Mike, what are your thoughts on this shortlist?
Well, yeah, I was quite surprised to see two names on there, that's for sure, and that was Clark and Tisdale. The club aren't really. I just don't believe the club are releasing shortlists to anyone. We had the Sky one last Thursday, and when I rate... Just to let listeners know, I was at a meeting on Friday with the Fulham Supporters Trust, and we met Sarah Brooks, the CEO, Alistair McIntosh, and Mike Rigg was there for about half hour in between getting phone calls every 10 minutes, which shows he's busy. But, they did laugh at the Sky Sports shortlist that was given out. So I don't believe the club are doing that. These names, I'm really surprised by Tisdale. There's nothing in his record that would show that he probably deserves a chance somewhere else. He's the second longest serving manager in the league, but straight into a Championship side, I'm not convinced by that at all. Clark, a year ago, he was on the list, but now he's in a team above us, just as Rao is with Birmingham. And I'll be very surprised if we were to go and make an approach to Reading. And Pearson's hanging around, because he's the big name out there. Well, there's David Moyes and Rodgers, I suppose, but he's the name who's available. And I think I touched on something Emilio said, that a week ago I did think they would have someone in place, but having been at a meeting on Friday and Pearson not being employed yet, it does make me think that they are looking at possibly someone who is in a position already or probably abroad, and so it's taking longer to finalise the details. But yeah, I'm not entertaining the Exeter manager's position. and Clark, I just don't see Reading. There's a sort of unwritten rule that you don't go and approach a club in the season within the same league as you. So I'd be very surprised if we were to do that. So yeah, I mean, there's plenty of other names still being bandied around, and you know, you look at the betting. It's per many one from about 50 names, isn't it? And you know, you just don't. The betting shows that the people who are making those bets haven't got a clue either, and the club are keeping it all very close to their chest. It has to be said.
Very smart, though, Mike.
Absolutely, and Mike Rigg is the one who's running it. That came across very clear in the meeting that it's his responsibility, just as he said in the video. He also established that, and you could tell he's frustrated with not only with our fans, but with English football and the media about head coach stroke manager and manager stroke head coach. The way he described it, and we asked him the questions, is if someone is available and someone wants the job, they can bring their own staff in if required, and while they will not have the final say on transfers, you know, because it's not the old school, I'm the manager and I want him, him and him, it is a collaborative effort with everyone involved in the club, and of course they can make recommendations just as the scouts do, just as the youth scouts do, and just as the stats guys do. So he was trying to emphasise that it doesn't rule out particular managers who we think are not coaches. And it was interesting that he said that the perception of certain managers is that they are a great coach, when really they get other people to do the work and they sit in their office. And of course, the other way around, people who we think are great managers and never on a training field are always on there. So, you know, I'm sure they're looking at many people, and I don't think there's a massive rush to get someone in for Saturday. I think we have the people there, and it's a massive appointment, and we need to get it right.
Absolutely, Mike. You know, I've given this a lot of thought, because as the days get closer to the MK Dons match, I'm thinking, oh, they need to make a move. But I'm like, wait a minute, Kerbishley is there. He can take over for that match if they need to. It's more important that they get this decision right. For me, that is the number one thing. Of course, I want them to win an MK Dons, but I think Alan Kerbishley can handle it. You know, obviously he can handle it. He's got the experience. So take your time and make sure you get it right. Of course I want them to name someone. We're all waiting for them to name someone. Mike, it's so funny because I tweeted this out and I put it on the Facebook page about Pierce signing with Fulham, and everyone started to get worried, but it was actually a player, you know, and it was kind of funny, but it really wasn't, but it showed you that the fans are really, they cannot wait for a decision to be made. Did you get that feeling? Because when I saw the article at first, I was like, oh, they're going for Pierce, but no, it was an actual player for the academy. What were your thoughts when you saw that? And then I'll go to Amelia.
But yeah, I did tweet it as Pierce signs, and a couple of people did respond to me, you know, thanking me for such a nice tweet, is the best way to put it. But no, I mean, it's the rush to get a person in, you can see it building up on Twitter, on the forums,
yeah,
as I'm sure you've seen. Every day, people are getting more and more fidgety. The fact is, we've got players out on international duty who aren't back until tomorrow, and they're probably not all back until Thursday. So we've still got a couple of days if they want to bring someone in, but we do have the people there to, you know, to manage a team if required. So yes, we all want a name, and I really did think that they were ready before the Reading game to sack him, that they would have done their groundwork, and maybe that groundwork they have done, and they've gone for someone not available, and this is what makes me think that the person is in place that they want. Otherwise, we would have seen Lambert, I think, or Pearson, someone given that job who's unemployed. So that's why I think there's a delay anyway.
Okay, very good. And that's where I'm kind of going. Again, I'm guessing here. You know, I thought that, again, the three of us all said, out of the three candidates from last week, we all said Lambert. Of course, we're going to talk about Lambert in a little bit going to Blackburn. But Amelia brought up a good point to me today. You know, Pearson's been out there for a while. If they really wanted Pearson, why isn't he already hired by Fulham? So that gives him hope that they're looking at a different manager, a different avenue, I should say, different head coach. Because, you know, it's easy. He's already on the street. He's there. He's available. So something tells me you guys are right. Again, this is just a feeling I have. I don't think it's going to be Pearson. I could be dead wrong on this. But I think that they're looking at someone else. And, Mike, I agree with you. I think that they have someone in mind. For whatever reason, I think it takes time for it all to come to fruition. But I think it's going to happen. If it doesn't happen by this weekend, so be it, as long as they get it right. For me, it is all about getting this right. Emilio, I want to go to you about the three names from this story and also this discussion that we're having about Mike talking to the club on Friday and thoughts about the head coach position. What are your thoughts about all this?
Yeah, again, what have the media got? They've got nothing better to do than throw out speculation, gossip, and rumours. You know, a week ago, Lyle was adamant it'll be Pearson, Lambert, or Roslin. I said at the beginning of the show, only one of those three names from the same media company, I'm not going to name their name, have come up with Pearson. And then there's two completely random names that have come up. You know, Steve Clark, we had the chance to secure him a year ago, thought he wasn't the right person for the club. We let him go, and to be honest, I agree with Mike. You know, why would he leave Reading to come to Fulham? And you know, maybe he's been put into that bucket by the media because he's a typical head coach and one that is associated with a head coach with proven experience. So that's probably why I think he's been been selected or believe he could be one of those choices of three. Tisdale, to Mike's point, you know, if it's Tisdale, why not Jimmy Floyd Hasman? Someone who's actually got more proven track record of promotion.
I agree with you.
And upper reach. So, again, if you want to go with a candidate who's not necessarily managed at a height this level, go with someone a little bit younger, maybe a bigger name, maybe a bit more of a risk as well. But, this, you know, it just seems a little bit odd that Tisdale's been sort of put into the mix here. There's obviously, like I said, the media have got nothing better to do than finding some gossip to share amongst the fans. And, you know, the fans are getting very anxious. But to my earlier point, there's no rush here. We've got a caretaker manager who I'm sure is involved in helping Rigg to find the right man for the club. You know, I don't think Kirbishley is out of the equation. I think he's probably contributing to the selection process or advising or consulting in some shape or form while still taking care of day-to-day duties at the club. So I'm not overly concerned. I want the decision to be right. And Mike made a very interesting point, and I concur again there, that if they wanted someone like Pearson Lambert, they would have got him immediately. The fact that they haven't yet made the decision implies to me that they're lining somebody up who is either in the current position or not easily available, so for whatever reason. So, you know, if we wanted Pearson, we could have got him by now. But does the club actually want to have a manager or head coach who swears to his own fans like he did last season? I think he had a confrontation with a Norwich, what was it, another James McCarthy or something like that last season, when he had his hands to the neck of this other chap. Player, he was swearing at journalists. Why would Fulham Football Club want to hire an idiot such as Nigel Pearson? Sorry, I said to you on Saturday, Russ, I'd actually write to the club and actually boycott going to the games if they end up resorting to signing up Nigel Pearson. We can do better, and we don't need a prat like him, and I'm going to use his term. That's what he calls fans, and we want to be called a prat by our head coach. Let's look elsewhere, please, because I'm getting a bit angry about this if this speculation continues. We can do a lot better.
Okay, very good, Emilio. And right back to you, because, again, I want to touch on this. The difference between a manager and a head coach, Mike talked about what he talked to the club about, you know, really defining the role a little bit better. Mike Rigg defining the role a little bit better. Do you feel more comfortable now knowing what Mike shared about the head coach role, that he'll be able to bring in his own people, but, again, he won't have final say. It'll be a collaborative effort when it comes to transfers, but he will be able to bring in his own people. What are your thoughts about the role of head coach?
I think that's good. That is a very interesting point, because if he's got some sort of influence in being able to not, you know, have some sort of say in the final decisions of which players they bring into club, that also allows players to come and play for a head coach who they can look up to. So the point I keep referring to regularly on the show is, why would I want to come and play for Fulham Football Club? I need to have, you know, work with somebody who I can develop from, I can learn from, and be mentored. And again, if that head coach has an influence and a say in who our future signings are going to be, that then facilitates a player to head coach relationship there. So I think that's a very important decision, and it makes it more attractive for future incumbent players to want to come and play for Fulham Football Club, and more importantly for our new incumbent head coach. So yeah, very interesting point there. And I still believe Kirby is playing some sort of consultancy role at the moment to line up possibly somebody more suitable to run the club. But let's not rush this, because the season, we're what, a third of the way through the season. We're not necessarily in a bad position, but you know, we're not far away from a top six playoff position, and get the right man in there, and you know, we could all be singing up and, you know, celebrating in 7 months' time. So it's not over yet. I want the fans just to be a little bit more patient, and let's just make the right decision before we end up regretting another bad appointment in 12 months' time.
Listen, honestly, Emilio, they can't afford to make a bad decision here. You know, they've made some poor ones. They need to make the right one. That's why I'm all about, again, I've changed my tune on this. You know, of course I wanted a new man by now, but it needs to be the right person. And if it takes a little extra time, so be it. They need to get this decision right. It's very important. So if it takes a little bit more time, okay, it takes a little bit more time. And Mike, I'm going to go back to you, because again, we talked about this man. I mentioned him already. Paul Lambert is now going to be the manager of Blackburn. Are you disappointed at the fact that Fulham did not have him become their head coach, that he decided to go to Blackburn instead? What are your thoughts about him becoming their manager instead of the Fulham head coach?
Yeah, can I just go back on a point, though, about head coach and manager?
Sure, absolutely.
So it was interesting in the discussions on Friday that Djokanovic's name came up, the Watford manager from last year, or coach, as he should be known. And we were talking about, you know, the perception that fans have that the club will be buying players and this head coach won't have any say. And it was interesting that they said that Djokanovic had no say in any of the Watford players last year, and he's actually quite happy just having players given to him so that he can just coach them. And I found that interesting, because that tells me that they've done a bit of research on him. So just throwing that out there.
Well, but, Mike, can I just add, it's funny you mention that, because a source has told me that he has come late into the game, that he's a potential candidate as well. I'm glad that you mentioned him.
Yeah, I did read yesterday that he's waiting for the European Cup or Champions League, whatever you want to call it, to finish, because I think he's got a couple of games left in the groups. But, yeah, he's an interesting proposition. I'm not totally sold on him, I have to say, because he's jumped around from club to club. But if it's a hands-on coach they're looking for, he seems to fit that bill. But going back to Lambert, as you know, he was my number one realistic choice. Sacking Kit on Sunday, he would have been the first person for me to ring. You can dream about Moyes or Rodgers if that's your cup of tea. I felt Lambert had all the background for a championship manager, promotion winning. And I always say, look at why a manager's been sacked or had a bad time at a club. And I think he did a really good job at Villa, just keeping them up, given the budget restraints he was under and that type of thing. So, yeah, I think, you know, our loss is Blackburn's gain, and you can see that he's taken, I think, four members of staff with him, and one of them being an ex-Fulham player, Lawrence Batty, as well, who I knew quite well when he was at the club. And it makes me think that we never spoke to him, because from the outside, Blackburn is a basket case of a club, and you would have thought out of the choices, we would have made more sense for him, because they are still under a transfer embargo, and
correct,
we know what their owners are like. And so unless he's had reassurances that's going to change and that type of thing, who knows? But yeah, I wish him luck, obviously, not against Fulham, but he's going to have a big job up at Blackburn, and I'm disappointed. I would have been very happy with Lambert taking over at Fulham.
Okay, very good. That's why I wanted to bring up this topic. Emilio, what are your thoughts about Lambert going to Blackburn? Are you disappointed as well?
Not as disappointed as Mike, to be honest. Last week, I reluctantly chose him as my preferred of the three candidates that were on our top three list. You know, to be honest, if we wanted him again, we could have got him a while back. And, you know, disappointed if we were. Lambert's capable, let's be honest. He's delivered at this level. Did a fine job keeping Norwich in the Premier League first season. Didn't do so well at Aston Villa, but I still believe we can do better. I'm not sure he had enough urgency, had enough passion at times. And now I think there are other candidates out there who I believe would fit the club better. Whether we get them is another matter. But I reluctantly wanted Lambert when we were put on the spot a week ago saying whether we preferred Rosler, Pearson or Lambert. But am I disappointed he's gone to Blackburn? Not really. So I'm confident that the club are investigating other options and trying to find somebody who would potentially be a longer fit and more stable and better all-round capability. So, no, I'm not disappointed.
Okay, very good. And listen, I'm going to go back to this because, again, a source that I was messaged back and forth with on Sunday, this is on Sunday, mentioned latest name in frame is Djokanovic, and Mike shared his thoughts on Djokanovic. What are your thoughts about him as a potential head coach?
Again, not overly inspired. I think Mike sort of hit a very important point there. We want stability. You know, I don't want a manager or head coach, whatever you want to call it, who's going to jump ship every 6 or 12 months. You know, we need someone here for the long haul, somebody youngish, you know, somebody who's got a reasonable track record of delivery at the minimum, and someone who's, like I said, someone here for the long term. I just think he jumps around a little bit more, and I'm not sure what his rapport and sort of chemistry would be with the fans as well. So that's an important factor as well. And that's why the Pearson appointment doesn't fit for me. You know, that the chemistry between Fulham Football Club and Pearson, I think that's going to be a struggle. The way he's conducts himself with the media, with the fans, with players. Now, Fulham can do better than that. Do we actually want to play a head coach like that? That's why I'm actually quite angry and quite passionate about this matter. And I just want somebody who's got capabilities, good track record delivery, but also has good chemistry with the fans and the players. And I don't see that with Pearson. I'm not sure we would have seen that with Lambert. And Djokanovic, no, doesn't inspire me. The only thing I'm worried about, and I've said this to you, Russ, as well, is whilst there's all this waiting and hoping, etc., are we going to end up getting an appointment that we're all going to be disappointed with? Someone comes in through the back door who no one would have expected and end up being a complete letdown. You know, someone like Stuart Pearce or Alex McLeish. You know, I mentioned to you yesterday, somebody I know actually saw Alex McLeish in the neighbourhood. I think he lives somewhere in southwest London, and I often did see him. But is that coincidence, or, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. So, you know, that's what we need to be worried about. You know, I just have a little bit of a niggling fear in my mind that whilst the decision's taken a while to make, we're all expecting a good position, a good appointment, but there's also that risk you get someone through the back door who might disappoint the majority of fans, like a McLeish or a Stuart Pearce. That's what I'm worried about.
Okay, very good. And Mike, what are your thoughts about what Emilio just shared about names, you know, again, that would be a little bit of a downer, someone like Alex McLeish that he just mentioned, or Pearce, you know, again, both those names have been bandied about. I also saw Lee Clark, former Fulham player. If they got a lesser name, how do you think that would be received by the Fulham supporters?
Well, I think the longer it takes for us to announce someone, the more annoyed, the more vocal Fulham fans will get. And so it will take a really good name to appease them and to make them happy with Rigg and the rest of the board, if you like. No, we don't want to end up next week appointing any of those names. I mean, I saw Billy Davis is at 25-1, and I just sort of cry at that one. And Tony Mowbray as well. You know, these are people who have been round the block, and you know, yes, they've seen it and they've done it, but they also have to be a fit. And Emilio touched on it, and I had a discussion with someone else about this the other day. Fulham have a type of manager. It's not about us being a losing club or little old Fulham, and you know, some of the supporters of Pearson and, you know, sort of say we need someone like that. He's not a Fulham manager. I'm sorry. He's he reminds me of Hughes with the ego, and everything about him is more important than the club. And it's so important. I always found the best Fulham managers do have that rapport with the fans. And you've only got to go online and watch Pearson in his press conferences. And it's not one, and it's not two, it's four or five. And there was a man under pressure last year. And I always find the real traits of people comes out when they're under pressure. You find out what they're really like, and what I've seen, I don't like. So I will not be happy if he's appointed as well. It needs to be a good name. The longer they leave it, you know, really,
I agree with that.
Someone has to be someone the fans are going to get behind. I mean, there's no one name. This is the thing. There's no one out there that 60% of the fans are going to say great. It's going to be, you know, some like him, some don't, and some will wait and see. But someone like, you know, let's imagine if they gave it to Danny Wilson or someone like that. You know, just sort of, what would they been doing for the last 2 weeks? So that's what you'd think. So I'm hoping it's going to be someone we can all get behind as a group of fans and as a club, and clean slate for the majority of them, and you know, let's see what we can do. But the longer it goes on, the more worried you are that it's going to be someone you don't want and who's been round the block.
Okay, very good. And I want to go back to Pearson, because I've been giving this a great deal of thought. I wouldn't mind someone that had that wasn't the greatest with the press. This is different. He is more of, I guess you could say, a loudmouth. And I don't know if he fits well with Fulham, Mike. I want to ask you, as a tactician, would he be good enough? Or is it more about the personality? Could he, you know, again, be that head coach type that could lead us, but the personality is just not the right fit? I'm curious where you fall on him as a head coach.
I've said online, I have no problem with his football or being the manager of a team in the Championship. I have no problem on that side. It's his attitude. And actually,
okay,
Russ, I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to disagree with you on the press side. I think a club like Fulham that struggles in London against 12, 13 other teams and have press conferences with only one or two people turning up needs someone who has a good rapport with the press to get us in the headlines. And we don't want someone like Pearson who's only getting us in the headlines because he's being a miserable git, or, you know, he's telling fans to go and die, which is what he has said. And I some people I respect are actually defending him for saying that, and I just don't get it. So I disagree on the press side. I think it has to be someone who is good with fans. So PR side, it's all part of the game now, as you know, Russ.
Okay. Okay, listen, it's a good point. I'm just thinking of it with a different team, a different sport, and maybe it's unfair because I'm thinking about another team I follow, a head coach that, again, is not great with the press but just gets results. Again, he's not mean. He's not like Pearson. He's not loud. He just does the minimum with the press. But you bring up a good point for a club like Fulham in London. They actually need someone that is going to be good with the press. So you're right, and I'm 100% wrong on that. You proved your point on that. You and Emilio definitely made your point on the negatives of Nigel Pearson, why it would not be a good fit. So again, I can admit when I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I'm wrong when it comes to that. Not a problem. All right, guys, let's move on. And let's talk about a familiar name. When I saw this, I think I did a double take, Mike. I'm just curious your thoughts on this story. According to the Daily Mail, Martin Yole could be a candidate for the QPR job. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, when I saw it, I thought, yeah, that would be great for QPR. But he's been out of work now for a couple of years. And I think he got tired of management. I'll be surprised if he ends up at QPR. They've made enough mistakes. I don't think they're going to make another.
I can't imagine that would happen. I couldn't imagine that Yoel would take it like you said. He's been out of the game for a while, and I just found that interesting, him being linked to QPR. Emilio, what are your thoughts on that?
Actually, quite laughable, to be honest. If he was a tenant job, at least it gives them a good chance to get relegated and get into the third tier. So I saw the funny side of that. But, you know, let's look at, you know, the type of man Martin Yoel was. You know, the person who I sit next to each game, Val, you know, he made a point, you know, when we appointed him all those years ago, that he knew someone, an insider from the club, who actually said, I quote, Martin Yoel, first visit to see his new squad, his new players, he actually said, I don't actually need this job. I've got enough money to fill this whole room up. So it just goes to show the type of man he was when we appointed him. He obviously was boasting about how much money he had and didn't actually need the job and was there to really just kill time and enjoy himself. So if QPR want to throw millions down the drain and get relegated, please go ahead, you know. I don't see any truth in that, to be honest.
Okay, very good. All right, another piece of speculation out there, and I've seen this for a while, and Mike, I'm going to go to you, because this story does not go away. It's been brought up a couple times by The Sun, and their latest is this. The Football League is set to hold talks this week with Fulham regarding financial fair play rules. Now, what are your thoughts on this? Again, this isn't the first story by The Sun. It keeps coming up. You know, it doesn't go away. What do you make of this story about financial fair play rules?
Okay, so just to give a bit of background so people understand what's happening here is that every November, the championship clubs from last season have to provide accounts. So these are not proper audited accounts. They're just accounts from the 1st of July to the end of June covering that championship season and within a certain sort of set of parameters. And so, you know, Fulham will have done that, and at meetings I've been with, we've raised the issue of FFP a number of times, and every answer I've always had from the CEO is, we are within the guidelines, and also, and I'm not breaking any sort of things here, you know, there has been talk within the club, should they break FFP and just go for bust to get promotion like QPR did, but no, they are, you know, playing within the rules, that's what they said they're doing. And then also the question about a new manager, which I asked, was, you know, budget-wise, he said there is no budget, you know, there is no limited budget. We will go for whoever is the right man. So getting someone on the cheap, I don't think is a priority at all. And on my side, I've done the sort of fag packet accounts, as you know, Russ.
Yes.
And I can't see how we would have broken the rules unless I've got my figures wildly wrong. To reach the limits where we would have a problem. What I would say is, looking back to last year and the year before, we will know very soon, because the league announce any problems they have with clubs, but usually by the end of November. So we're going to find out in the next week or two if the club do have a problem, but I don't think they do.
Okay, very good, Mike. And I'm glad that you clarified this, because the amount of money that they would have to pay for a head coach and manager, I believe, was part of this article. So what you are led to believe is true is that that has no part of financial fair play?
Well, no, the wages do. But what I'm saying is the figures they're going to be looking at are last season, you know, from June to July. What we do now, or even since the season kicked off, has no bearing on the conversation with the Football League, because it's this year's rules and accounts. It's all about what we did last year. And you've only got to look at all the players we shipped out last summer, wages-wise, either by selling them or getting on loan. And the only big buy was McCormick. And, you know, I can't reconcile the wages against income, which, you know, I know is sort of finger in the air a little bit, to make us show a loss. So, you know, as usual, come February, I'll be looking at our accounts when they're published, but I'll be very surprised if we've broken any rules.
Okay, well, again, very good take there, Mike, but again, just to clarify on the manager, how much the manager makes is part of financial fair play or not?
Yeah, yeah.
Part of...
Yeah, no, it is, because it's part of the wages.
Okay.
It's part of the wages. Yeah.
Okay, but they're looking for a last season, so it doesn't affect us this season, is what you're trying to say.
That's right, unless they're looking at last season and McGaff was on a multi-million pound contract and we were still paying for all the other managers as well. But even that, I still can't see how we would have broken the rules.
Okay, very good there, Mike. Emilio, what are your thoughts about all of this talk in regards to financial fair play?
It's interesting. And like I said, it's been sort of in the background. It's only now coming at the forefront of discussion because, like Mike said, those results are sort of in the process of being locked down and announced shortly. You know, obviously, Mike's best position to comment, so he's done his analysis on various occasions in the past, and it's reassuring to hear that, you know, based on his analysis, that, you know, we don't feel that we've actually breached the FFP. But, you know, the only concern I've got is obviously some of the players that we had last season are on fairly good wages. The Ruizes, Rodriguez of this world, McCormack's not come cheap either. Big transfer fee. McGath, obviously, compensation plus wages, low attendances. You know, people were staying away last season. And, you know, so, you know, there may be a risk that we might slightly slip into that category. But, you know, disappointed if we do, that's going to change the dynamics quite significantly. And maybe is that influencing the reason why we haven't gone with a big name signing? I don't know. I'm just speculating here. You know, if we wanted Big Sam, for example, again, then we had this discussion months ago. You know, perfect person to take us back up, but could we have afforded him? You know, was wages an issue, etc. So yeah, I'll take heart from what Mike said and very bullish that we won't have breached FFP, but There is a niggling doubt in my mind that those high wages, compensation for sacking McGath, low crowds last season, what's the impact to the club financially there? So, I'm, you know, not 100% certain that we haven't breached it, but I'll take courage from what Mike said. So let's see. Let's await what happens in the next few months.
Yeah, we're just going to have to wait and see how this all plays out. But I know the club is very cognizant of what they spend and care very deeply about financial fair play. They're trying to play within the rules. So I will be surprised. But, again, we will find out hopefully by the end of the month exactly if there is something to worry about, if there is an issue, and that would be disappointing if there is. But, again, we'll find out down the road. It's something that we have to just keep following and see if anything comes from it. All right, guys, to finish up the show, we're going to do this in two parts. First, I'm going to ask you who you want of the candidates or someone else that has not been mentioned as the next Fulham head coach, and then I'm going to ask you to finish off the show, who do you think will be the next Fulham head coach? So, Mike, I'll start with you. Again, week later, Lambert's gone. Who do you want as the next Fulham head coach?
Who do I want?
Who do you want?
Yeah, it's a real tough one. I'm going to give you two names, and I'd be happy with either of these ones. So
okay.
I would go with either Oscar Garcia.
Okay, I've heard that name.
Yeah, ex-Brighton manager, and I would be happy to gamble on Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. I'll be quite honest with that. Of course, I think everyone would go with Moyes. Yeah, we'd love Moyes, but I just don't believe that's going to happen. So one of those two I would be happy with.
Okay. And honestly, Oscar Garcia is a name that I saw some speculation about. I don't know how real it is, but that's a name to consider as well. Emilio, how about you?
Yeah, obviously, Moyes is obviously the obvious candidate. We talked about him before the speculation even got out there. So yeah, he's still my preferred choice, perfect fit. And, you know, I'm still... something inside me is saying that something like Gary Monk, you know, I'm looking at Gary Monk, who is, I don't know, Swansea have slumped in the last 3 months. You know, they've got a very, you know, very good organised team. Swansea play the type of football that Fulham Football Club should be associated with. Same type of fan base, good family club. Something's going on there at Swansea. I've just read an article earlier today about Sigurdsson, who's had a bit of a dig at Monk, saying he never talks to his players. He never congratulated him for getting Iceland into the Euro Championships next June. So who knows? You know, to Mike's point, it could be that we're going for somebody who's currently in a position rather than someone who's available. And, you know, he's got Premier League experience. managed the team very well. He's, you know, getting his head down, doing a good job. You never know. So I'm actually going with someone like Gary Monk, you know, someone young, capable, says the right things in the media, playing for a family club like Fulham Football Club. So, you know, there's a lot of synergies there. So, you know, I wouldn't be disappointed with having Gary Monk come into Fulham.
I actually like that idea of Gary Monk. Very interesting take there. And then, of course, you mentioned David Moyes. Guys, I'll give you my two. I have been saying this from the beginning. I want David Moyes. And Mike's probably right. I've not heard anything linked to David Moyes. So, again, I don't see it happening, but that would be the man I want. I think he's the perfect fit for Fulham Football Club. I want David Moyes. I don't see them going in that direction. But as a second choice, I agree with you, Mike. You know, again, last week I did a little homework. I watched a bunch of video, and I read a good amount about Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink. I think if you're going to be bold and go for an up-and-coming manager/head coach, well, you know, again, you can call him what you want, I think Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink and his second in command could be a great team. And based on what I was watching and what I read, I was very impressed with Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink. So I see where you're going on that, Mike. Do you think he would be too much of a risk for Fulham, though? I would like to see them take the risk. What are your thoughts about Hasselbaink? You mentioned him already. Do you think they would take the risk?
No, I don't think they will in the end. It's Rick's job on the line, and he'd be gambling on this. But I'll throw an outside bet here.
Okay.
And I wonder what Emilio thinks about it. And so I'm getting this really from Rick's time at the England setup. And we've seen some other names mentioned, like Boothroyd and that kind of thing. But what about Sean O'Driscoll?
Interesting. Very interesting. Emilio, what are your thoughts about Sean O'Driscoll?
Yeah, very much interesting. Obviously, former player, you know, from the 80s. And I remember many a game, many a goal. And interesting choice there. I hadn't even thought about him. I'm not sure. It all goes back to the point around what the ambition of the club is. And I've questioned how ambitious the club have been for the last 5-6 years. And, you know, if we were to appoint someone in the mould of Sean O'Driscoll, you know, is he an upgrade of Kit, or is he a suitable long-term replacement for Kit? I see there's too many synergies with Kit there, albeit slightly stronger. But, yes, got the former Fulham Football Club values. But, no, I'm not entirely certain. I'd like to see maybe partnering somebody as a head coach, like an assistant head coach, if anything.
Yeah.
Having that, but actually can lead from the front. Yeah, but, you know, good shout there, Mike. But I'm not too certain I'd want him as the head coach. I'd want him to see him there as a partner, as an assistant, if anything.
Yeah, I was sort of throwing it out there because he was part of the England setup and for the younger teams, and his teams do play football, nice football, and, you know, he's got championship experience. But, I was just going through Odds Checker and his name sort of just popped out there in between all the Alex McLeishes and everyone else as well, and Mark Cooper and those kind of people. But I don't think it will. I don't think it will be him, but we'll have to wait and see. But it will be interesting if it's somebody completely left field who no one has mentioned. That would be a pleasant surprise, but it's highly unlikely.
Well, I'm going to throw out a name. I know of someone that, again, it's not going to happen, but I would like to see back involved in Fulham Football Club at some point, Mike. I think you're going to agree with me on this because they've missed him ever since he left to go with Roy, and that's Ray Lewington.
Yeah, I mean, I think loads of people would have Ray back at the club in some way, but not as a manager. We've seen him do that before. And also, he's going to be busy up until next summer at least. But after that, who knows? But I'm interested in the Gary Monk one, Emilio. Do you think...
I like that.
Do you think it's a case of Swansea lose this weekend and he's going to get the sack and we're waiting to see something happen?
I've said this, I think... I can't remember if I said it on the show last week. I think I mentioned it. I think something's going on there. Something's not quite right at Swansea at the moment. It seems if Sigurdsson's now gone on record, apparently being misquoted, but you know he would fit the values of Fulham Football Club very well. He, like you said,
absolutely,
he's a calm, measured, good brand of football. He admittedly he's had the players to play that, but he's had to continue the you know the Swansea Football Club values of playing, passing game, possession, etc. Don't give much away. Don't concede many goals. And you know, he would be defensively the right type of manager with that mindset. Play from the back, keep possession, keep it tight. You might not necessarily win 4 or 5 nil every game, but he will close the game out very well. And, you know, he's got Premier League experience. He's young. He's got a future ahead of him. Good track record. I think he ticks a lot of boxes. And he's a more realistic choice than David Moyes, in my opinion. As much as I want David Moyes, I think we're more likely to get Gary Monk. And then to your point, like if Swansea were to lose this weekend, I'm not sure who they're actually playing, but if they're another couple of defeats, who are they playing?
No, I'm not sure. But they're on a bad run, aren't they? So
very much
they
are. And then with players, then when things don't go well, according to plan, players start to get a little bit uptight. You know, quotes are misquoted from players. You know, also you hear about the negatives, not the positives. So who knows? Again, there's a lot of synergies. That's why I think Gary Monk, you know, looking into this and sort of doing a bit of a deep dive, I think he'd be a very, very good fit for the club. And I'd applaud that decision if it happened. And if they were to lose again this weekend, well, I think he could be one of the next casualty in the Premier League. And like you said, if we could go there and snap him up, especially whilst we're not in a position where we need to rush finding the right man.
That's
right at the beginning, Mike, where I think the person that we're looking or targeting is currently in a job.
See, I was just about to say that, Emilio. Could this be a situation where their number one choice is still employed and they're waiting for something to happen? That's an interesting take. I don't know, but that's, you know, the more that you talk about this, again, this is just, you know, you're throwing it out there. You haven't heard anything, but Gary Monk is someone that could get sacked. And who knows? You know, again, he does tick all the boxes, like you said. All right, guys, we only have about 2.5 minutes left of the show. Really flew by. Real quick, we're going to have to do this quick. Mike, I'm going to go to you. Who do you think Fulham are going to choose as their next head coach? I should say head coach because before it was a manager. Who's going to be the Fulham head coach, Mike? What do you think?
I think Rick's going to play it safe and he's going to give it to Pearson. I'll just quickly say it's interesting that we've both mentioned Monk, Hasselbank, and I think that they both fit the sort of young, innovative,
yeah,
young coach that we want, and not someone who's been around the houses, you know, with 4 or 5 different clubs.
It's interesting. I think we're all kind of in the same wavelength here. We're looking for someone that's kind of up and coming, young, has good ideas, and has a bright future. Both of those managers fit the bill there. All right, Emilio. Mike says he thinks it could be Pearson. Are you in agreement, or do you have a different name?
No, I don't think we will get Pearson. I'm, to be honest, they won him. They could have got him a long time ago. I honestly think Pearson is not the right fit, and I can't see Rigg and Pearson working collectively and working in partnership with each other. I just see that relationship being very sour within weeks. So I'm more optimistic that we'll get somebody younger. I honestly believe that, as much as I would like to see David Moore, I actually think Gary Monk is a possible target. So I'm actually going to say let's go for someone left field, like Mike said, and somebody who not many people are predicting. They sound like a Gary Monk. Possibly
okay,
even Mick McCarthy. What's wrong with Mick McCarthy's not been mentioned in any of this. So if we're going to go to Steve Clark, why not Mick McCarthy?
Okay, wow, we're throwing all kinds of names at the end, but we only have about 30 seconds left. Fantastic show by both of you guys. You guys were fantastic tonight, but I do have to wrap it up. Thank you so much for joining me. For Mike and Amelia, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, guys. Have a great night.
Good night, Mike. Good night,
Russ.
Cheers,
Russ.
Cheers,
bye.
Bye. Boys and girls, London calls.